Yeah, it is exactly 7 it's 7:15 here in Israel. It's 12:15 in Toronto. And no one ever accused us of being yekking, but it's always wonderful to start on time. So with no f more further ado, introducing Dr. Benny and the beginning of book five.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. It's a pleasure to start tonight, the fifth book, with lecture 21. We have another 10 lectures to go, and the way I planned it, that we should have for the fifth book, which is a little bit less than a third, about exactly 10 shiurim. The fifth book is a symphony. It's the rebuilding, the return to Zion, the revival of Am Yisrael. Hallel, 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 a lot of Hallel. And it's a very optimistic and enthusiastic book altogether. It is for me, as the entire book, in particularly for the fifth book, very inspiring to see how beautiful the program is built, how we come back to Zion, how we rebuild it there based on the values of King David. And it's fascinating to see that even though Tehillim and Tanakh is studied over hundreds of years, there is a real chidush, a real new insight. And most importantly, on top of this academic insight, it's great to see that what King David spoke, or Ezra, whoever wrote it in the name of King David, we see it, Baruch Hashem, with our eyes. And it is a very, very special experience, not only to learn Tehillim, understand it, but to see how after 2,000 years we are back and are building in Eretz Yisrael our future. We should focus today on Mizmor 107. Mizmor 107 has many aspects. We spoke about 107 last time when we finished book four with 105 and 106, the twins. And 107 is the synthesis of the two previous Mizmorim. So we should take now a closer look, as I want to show here on 107, but we should also see that actually it takes us to a very high level overview of the fifth book, which I would like to discuss briefly at the end, and I will come back to the structure of book five along the next 10 shiurim. We have also the opportunity to learn a little bit about Birkat HaGomel. The topic of Tehillim cannot include also Chazal and Tfilah, which is a beautiful bracha, so I will keep it very short just to address this issue. As I said, Shiv'im Panim LaTorah. The Torah has many, many ways of interpreting the Torah. And here we have an example of 107, the way we saw it last time. We will talk today about the textuality, the structure. We spoke last time about the contextuality, closing the fourth book, opening the fifth, and that is the thesis, the antithesis, and synthesis. As we saw these three Mizmorim, we will come back to that. Even if we have different approaches, we should not forget to learn whatever we learned in different approaches to put it all together. And we will learn about the intertextuality. There are wonderful connections to Sefer Yeshayahu, Ezra and Nehemiah. There is a lot in Sefer Iyov and others. So I will give a few examples, otherwise it's too much. But we have a lot of psychology, and I will actually present three interesting scholars who of the 20th century and show how they really are reflected, what they said, reflected in Mizmor 107. And I think it will add, I hope it will add, to learn these psychological insights in order to understand the messages of Mizmor 107. And as I said, to understand that we are back to Eretz Yisrael might be the most wonderful example of an old classic source. And it happens today that we see that how things, Baruch Hashem, come to a realization. Here we have the structure of the fifth book. And I want to show you here things which we learned before. But in the repetitions, in these reviews, I try to point out new aspects, what we learned, but we hopefully can see them today in new perspective. The difference between the third and the fourth book, as we spoke several times, chapter 90, is despite the structure, despite the destruction, end of the third book, 17 chapters, there is a rebuilding, a restoration in the fourth book over 17 chapters. This unit of 105 and 106 at the end of the fourth book is a unit together with 107, which is the beginning. 107 is the opening of a new chapter, a new book, but it is based clearly on the end of the fourth book. 105 says, what is the ideal? We should come to Eretz Yisrael and fulfill the Torah. Unfortunately, 106 says, God promised everything, gave you everything, a wonderful leadership, but we did not fulfill what we were expected to do, and there was an exile and a diaspora. 107 says, wow, but we are back. At 106, at the end of the fourth book, we pray to come back. At 107, it's a perfect transition. The fifth book said we prayed for that at the end of fourth book. The beginning of the fifth book says, and it was fulfilled. God listened and fulfilled our prayers. So that is the transition. At the end of chapter 107, we have the pasuk, Mi chacham v'yishmor eile v'yitbonenu chasdei Hashem. Who is the smart man to understand that and to understand the love and the chesed from Hashem? That is at the end of chapter 107, the first chapter after book 4. Only twice in Tehillim the word chasdei Hashem is mentioned. In the chapter just before the fourth book, 89, at the very beginning in false symmetry, we have at the beginning of the pasuk, of the mizmor, Chasdei Hashem Olam Hashira. So whatever at the end of the third book, we were singing and hoping that it should happen, chapter 89 is the tragic chapter, a lot of expectations and hope, but everything failed. Chapter 107 says, back to Chasdei Hashem. So it's a beautiful frame. Only twice, at the very beginning of the chapter before, at the very end of the chapter afterwards, 89 and 107. So if we ask at the end, who would be the smart man to understand the chesed of Hashem? Who is the hero of Sefer Tehillim? It's King David. Oh, he's not around anymore. He died in chapter 72. True, biologically he died. But here, what is the answer of these questions at the end of 107? Mi chacham v'yishmor eile. The answer comes in chapter 108. And in chapter 108, it says, Shir mizmor le David nachon libi Elohim, ashira v'az zamra. And he thinks about the kindness of Hashem, ki gadol me'al shamayim chasdecha. How fascinating. Chapter 108 is a duplicate. It is a combination of chapter 57 and 60. Why do we need to repeat all the chapters? Classical Parshanut has to say, oh, one is in the history and one is in the future. One is King David's time and one is for Mashiach's time. And biblical criticism says it's a later edition. That's the way the Bible was edited and there are many mistakes. And the Parshanut Hekshelit, the contextual interpretation, says something beautiful. We are back to King David's time. Mi chacham v'yishmor eile v'yitbonenu chasdei Hashem is the questions to all those who have the privilege to come back to Zion and to return to the city of David. Who is the man who could teach us that? Nobody has really an answer. But everybody has the same answer. It is King David. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. He died in the first temple period. Regardless, nevertheless, he will teach us. How can he teach us if he died? Let's repeat the two Mizmorim from book 2, 57 and 60. And that is the answer of who will understand the Chesed? We have somebody who understands the Chesed. It's the historical King David in his light and in his path. We continue to rebuild Yerushalayim in our time. Very beautifully, that the two German scholars, Zenger Hosfeld, they call this chapter Alt Neuland. How beautifully and meaningfully. Herzl's book, that we come back to the old land, but we revive it, a revitalization of the old story, is Alt Neuland. That's the name of the city Tel Aviv. There is a new spring of an old place. So that is the beautiful flow from 107 to 108, which I wanted to point out in this. King David is back, and he keeps singing 108, 109, 110, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8 times at the end. And he leads the Hallel v'Hoda'ah, as you see here in the colors, white on black. It is a deja vu in 108 that we come back to the city of David, and we sing the way King David was singing many, many years ago in this place. The transition from 105 and 106, I want to repeat it here. We spoke about it, but I think it's worthwhile to see it here again. This very, very meaningful transition from book 4, at the end we pray. We pray, Hoshi'enu Adonai Eloheinu v'kapitzenu min ha'goyim le'odot l'shem kodshecha. We ask Hashem, please take us out and gather us in from all the places, from all the exile. So we should come lehodot, to thank, and we should come and say tehillah, to praise. Remember these two words, terms of lehodot and tehillah, at the very, very end of chapter 106 of book 4. That's the motif for the coming book 5. Lehodot ulehalel. It's the entire nation who sings in the doxology. Ve'amar kol ha'am ha'amen hallelujah. We spoke about the term of the democratization of the David concept. Everybody is now King David. Everybody says amen, but not amen ve'amen as we said in the other doxologies. Amen hallelujah. We start now to praise, to sing. It's the highlight of Sefer Tehillim. In book 5. And chapter 107, just at the beginning, continues exactly these two terms, Batzar lahem, kapceinu, lehodot, ve'amar. As we see here, hodu l'ashem kitov kidolam chasdo, yomaru geulei Hashem asher ga'alam miyad tzam, u'me'aratzot kibtzam, and he listened when we were in a tzarot, distress. So that is exactly the transition between end of book 4 and end of book, at beginning of book 5. These are the beauties of the details, which I cannot elaborate now in more detail, but that is actually, these are the data, the hard data. And I put in the book an asterisk whenever I see it appears only twice. And I will not go all the examples, but I would like to show you three of them, which summarizes the end of 106, of 106, end of book 4, 107, beginning of book 5. In book, in 106, it says, Vayizkor lahem brito, vayinachem kerov chasadav. Hashem remembered his brit, his covenant, vayinachem kerov chasadav, and with all his kindness, he had mercy. Vayinachem mileshon nechama. In book five, we say, we come back to Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of the chapter, it says, Vayismachu ki yishtoku, vayanchem el mechoz chefzam. They were happy. All those who came back to Zion, they were happy. And God led them to the place they were looking for their destination. Vayanchem el mechoz chefzam. I checked the words vayinachem or vav yunun chet mem. These are two totally different words. One says to vayinachem kerov chasamav, to forgive, and the other one says to lead them back to Eretz Yisrael. The same letters. Why the same letters? Why to confuse those who are not that familiar with Hebrew with the same letters? You don't know the punctuation, and it sounds similar. That's exactly the beautiful poetic style. we remember that he forgives us in his kindness. What is the forgiving? What's the process? What's the topic of forgiving us? That we came back to Eretz Yisrael, that is the Nechama. Two different terms, but it's the same. God brought us back, and that is our big Nechama. We have here in 106 a terrible destruction about Am Yisrael, who failed to do what they were expected to do. V'hem zavchu la'atzabehe kesem. V'hem asher zibchu la'atzabehe na'am. They brought sacrifices, their own children, idolatry. When they come back to Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayizbechu, Vayizbechu, Zifchei. You see the same words in two adjacent Mizmorim, Vayizbechu, Zifchei. Which kind of sacrifice? Of thanksgiving and to tell the story of Hashem. So these are beautiful, it's a beautiful neighborhood of chapter 106 and 107 by taking the same terms, but transforming them to a totally, totally different meaning. Here again, we had these mizmorim, which appear at the end of chapter 4, with le David, et fila, 103, 104, start with Bachi nafshi, Bachu et Hashem, Bachi nafshi, Bachi nafshi, Bachi nafshi et Hashem. And we start very quietly the first hallelujah. Hodul Hashem kiru bishmo, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hodul Hashem kitov. And everybody says hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And here we say hodul Hashem kitov, which is just a continuation. So it's a good exercise to read these mizmorim in a flow in order to identify their beautiful narrative. I want to point out with this slide, which I showed last time, I want to point something that we did not discuss in the last lecture. And it is the term of Rina. 105 says, the ideal is Hashem brought us out of Egypt and we should sing with enjoyment the Geula, that we came out of Egypt and came to Eretz Yisrael. Vayotzi amo v'sason b'rina et b'chirav. Rina means here enjoyment. But in 106, where the sins are described, that the Jewish people did not fulfill what they were expected to do, it says in 106, Vayar batzar lahem b'shomro et rinatam. Rina can also mean a prayer. A prayer when somebody is in a distress. Lishmoa el harina ve'el atfila. Hashem saw that they are in a distress and he listened to their rina. The rina of enjoyment of coming to Eretz Yisrael is transformed to a prayer because we are in the exile and we are not in Eretz Yisrael. 107 says when they come back, v'yizbechu zifrei toda, v'yesapru ma'asav b'rina. If the word rina is mentioned only in these three mizmorim in a row in Sefer Tehillim, the word rina tells us a story. From great excitement, 105, prayer because we are in trouble, 106, but we come back to Eretz Yisrael in 107. Again, we have the Rina, the way we had it in the historically many years ago when they came from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. The same idea comes in the word Aratzot and Goyim. 105 says, Hashem gave us the land and there we can live. But 106, when they did not fulfill the mitzvot, and there was a disobedience, Hashem decided they should go to the exile. The same word of goyim aratzot, coming to Eretz Yisrael, are here described. Goyim ve'aratzot, there was an expulsion from Eretz Yisrael to all other lands outside of Eretz Yisrael. What does 107 say? Baruch Hashem u'me'aratzot kibtzam, back from all the countries to Eretz Yisrael. So there are many terms in these three mizmorim, and 107 closes them in a positive way, as we discussed last time. And now I come to one of the biggest problems that I have to share with you. I don't know what the best format is. from many Mizmorim. 107 is a very beautiful one, and it has a structure which we can see beautifully if we present it horizontally. And there are other features which are presented very beautifully if we present the Mizmor vertically. But not this is the best one, and not the other one is the best one. And I think that's actually, on one hand, a challenge, that I don't know what the best format is. And on the other hand, it's a great opportunity to learn and present different aspects in different ways. So since I didn't know whether horizontally is the best one or vertically, I prepared, and I will read it soon, another version, which is a combination of the horizontal and the vertical one. So that is not necessarily the easiest solution, but I hope you will appreciate why it's needed. And I want to invite everybody who has ideas on these questions, which are very difficult to resolve. I don't think there is an answer of right or wrong, but I'm happy to hear your thoughts. And of course, if it is presented in English, it makes it even more challenging, because we have a big chapter which we want to understand, but we want to see the structure. I would show you three different versions, and you are welcome afterwards to comment, to write me, or to discuss it later. Here is the text. The text of chapter 107 is long. I could not put them together as for other Mizmorim on the same page, so forgive me. And I will read here the Hebrew text, and whoever needs a translation should use this the time to look at the translation. I show you already now, before I read it, that we have an introduction, verse 1 to 3. We have a summary at the end from 33 to the end. And we have four different stories, which are different and which are very similar. They have a refrain. In these, you see it here. I highlighted that with white on black, where it is similar. And I highlighted here with green what along these four stories is taken from the opening. So the opening is in green, and there are terms of Hodu Lashem Chasdo Batzar Miyam, which are mentioned. These four people tell us what we just heard in the opening lines. And at the end, we summarize a lot of terms, which you see here below. It is Midbar, Maim, Re'evim, Ir Moshav, Vayat'em, Yesharim, Ve'ismachu, Chacham. These terms are mentioned, and they're actually a conclusion of the Mizmor, summarizing these four people. And we have the term Chasdo in the first line, and we have the term Chasdei Hashem in the last line, at the very, very end of the last line. So there is a marvelous structure. I looked at it just now, just formalistically. What do we have? What colors? What terms? And we will talk afterwards about the messages and the meaning of the Mizmor. You will see, hopefully, how meaningful it is to see these connections. So let's read now the Mizmor. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. יומרו גאולי אדוני אשר גאלם מיד צער ומארצות קיבצם, ממזרח וממערב, מצפון ומים. First, טעו במדבר בישימון דרך, עיר מושב לא מצאו. רעבים, גם צמאים, נפשם בהם תתעטף. ויצעקו אל אדוני בצר להם ממצוקותיהם יצילם. וידריכם בדרך ישרה ללכת אל עיר מושב. יודו לאדוני חסדו ונפלאותיו לבני אדם, כי הסביע נפשו ככר, ונפש רעבה מילי טוב. יושבי חושך וצלמוות, אסירי עוני וברזל, כי הימרו אימרי אל ועצת עליון נעצו, ויחנע בעמל לליבם כשלו ואין עוזר, ויזעקו אל אדוני בצר להם, ממצוקותיהם יושיעם. יוציאם מחושך וצלמוות ומוסרותיהם ינתק. יודו לאדוני חסדו ונפלאותיו לבני אדם, כי שיבר דלתות נחושת ובריחי ברזל גידע. אבילים מדרך פשעם ומעוונותיהם יטענו. כל אוכל תתעב נפשם ויגיעו עד שערי מוות, ויזעקו אל אדוני בצר להם. ממצוקותיהם יושיעם.
Yishlach tvaro v'yirpa'em v'yimalet mishchitotam. Yodul Adonai chazdo v'niflotav livnei adam. V'yizbechu zivchei toda v'yisapru ma'asav b'rina. Yodei hayam ba'oniyot osei melacha b'mayim rabim. Hema ra'u ma'ase Adonai v'niflotav b'metzula. V'yomer v'yamed ruach sa'ara. ותרומם גלב, ויעלו שמיים ירדו תרומות, נפשם ברעה תתמוגג, יחוג וינו כשיקור, וכל חוכמתם תתבלה. ויצעקו אל אדוני בצר להם, וממיצו קותיהם יוציאם, יקם שערה לדממה, ויחשו גליהם, וישמחו כי ישתוקו, וינחם אל מחוז חפצם, יודו לאדוני חסדו, ונפלאותיו לבני אדם. וירוממוהו בקהל לעם, ובמושב זקנים יהללוהו. יסם נהרות למדבר, ומוצאי מים ליצים מעון. ארץ פרי למליכה מרעת יושבי בה. יסם מדבר לאגם מים, וארץ צייה למוצאי מים. ויושב שם רעבים, ויחוננו עיר מושב. ויזרעו שדות, ויתעו חרמים, ויעשו פרי תבואה. ויברכם, וירבו מאות, ובהמתם לא ימעיט. וימעטו וישוחו, מעוצר רעה ויגון. שופך בוז על נדיבים, ויתאם בתוהו לא דרך. ויסגב אביון מעוני, ויישם כצון משפחות. יראו ישרים וישמחו, וכל עוולה קפצה פיה. מי חכם וישמור אלה, ויתבוננו חסדי השם. What do we have in this mizmor? We have in the middle a long description from Pasuk 4 to 32 about four people who were saved. Everybody has a story. One who was walking in the desert, the second who was in jail in prison and was liberated, a sick person, and those who crossed the seas, the waters. And everybody has his own story. And everybody was in big distress, was in danger. And he called to Hashem to help him, to save him, when he was batzar lahem. But everybody had the zchut that Hashem listened, heard him, and saved him. And therefore, we thank Hashem for his kindness. Yodu l'Hashem chazdo, all of them, v'niflotav livnei adam. And at the end, there is a justification. Why do they thank? At the beginning, because you were hungry, you were thirsty. You're not hungry and thirsty anymore. Here, in verse 9. In the second time, people were in jail. Hashem liberated them. And why do they thank? Because he broke these gates of the prison and they could get out of these iron walls, of these iron doors. So it is not hungry anymore and not in jail anymore. The sick person, and we have to understand which kind of sickness, they had a lot of chataim, evilim miderech pisham. They couldn't eat. They were not well. Is that a psychosomatic condition? Because there was a lot of pesha and avonot. They had a feeling of failure, of sins, and therefore they couldn't eat. When they were cured, yishlacht varo v'yirpa'em, what were they cured from? From the hunger, from the disease, or from their sins? When they come back and thank, they can eat. They had a good appetite. They can bring a sacrifice. V'yizbechu zivchei toda. It's not being hungry anymore, like the first one, or not being in jail anymore, like the second one. It is being back to do what you like to do, to thank Hashem, to fulfill the commitment of this mizmor, the first word of the mizmor, Hodu l'Hashem kitov. That's what they do with their sacrifice, bringing a sacrifice of Todah. and they tell the story. They tell their wonderful story that Hashem listened to him. The fourth one, who was in the sea, in big danger, it's the longest one. You see here, we have here two psukim, three psukim, two psukim, and here we have five. It's much longer. When they were in the sea, they saw Maasei Hashem. They saw wonderful things. Here it says, V'yisapru ma'asav berina, and they wanted to see wonderful things of Hashem, and they went to see it on the sea, to many other nations, to many other places. What is their conclusion? What's the justification of their thankful behavior? Yodu l'Hashem chasdo v'niflotav livnei adam. Why? V'yiromemuhu b'kahal am u'v'moshav zkenim yahaleluhu. They will praise him with a big audience, a big public audience, and they will do halel. They will perform a halel. So please pay attention that for the third, the first, and the second one that we have here, for all of them, the same line, what I show here with the blue bar. They were in the same trouble, each of them in his own way, in his own story. And they were in the same situation that they were saved, and they thank Hashem. Each of them says the same, but they didn't meet. So what is the point that they do all the same? Just tell a story. One was in the desert, one was in jail, one was sick, and one was in the sea. Why can't you just summarize it in one term? Because there are four different aspects to that. Everybody has his own story. How interesting. Everybody has a different story, has a totally different story to tell about how he was saved, how he came to Eretz Yisrael. But all of them share the same feeling of distress. Vayitzaku el Hashem batzar lehem mimitzukotehem yatzilem or yoshiem or yotziem. The same story, distress. And they come back all with the same feeling of thanks, of being grateful to Hashem. Yodu l'Hashem chasdo. That's the topic of the whole Mizmor at the beginning and at the end. How beautiful. Everybody has a story. How beautiful. He has his own story, his individual story. But how beautiful. Everybody has the same experience and everybody listens to the other. That is a very, very insightful comment to this Mizmor. And here we have, if the first two won, they were just saved from distress. The last two won, they were actually not only saved and not hungry and not in jail anymore, as we say in 9 and 16, they are in a very good shape. They want to do Todah and Halel. Remember what we said at the ending of the fourth book. We had a halel and hoda'a. That's what we have here. Halel and hoda'a. The theme of the fifth book is Mizmorei Halel, Hallelujah, and Mizmorei Hodu, Hodu Lashem Kitov. But not as a theoretical prayer text. Here we have a personal story. That's what happened to the people. And they were saved from sickness, from disease, and they bring a Korban Todah. And they tell about the Korban Todah. It is a therapy of talking, not only the Korban, yes, good meat, that's not the issue. It is the V'yisapru ma'asav berina. And when they say at the end they are saved from the sea, they come and have a kahal am, and they have on the moshav zkenim with the elders, they bring the halel, and they praise Hashem. It is a totally different level of thankful, not only saved from a distress, it is doing something meaningful with your life that you tell others, and not only that you tell, you also sing it in front from a lot of people, Bikahal Am and Moshav Zkenim. There is a flow. These four Mizmorim, they have a flow. There is a lot to point out in these Mizmor, and I have to keep it short, but I want to point out some very important issues. Where is this Ir Moshav? Three times in the Mizmor, we have the term of Ir Moshav, a town where people are settled. Ir Moshav, they couldn't find it. They were in the desert. They couldn't find it. And it says it here again. Ir Moshav lo motzau, lalechet el ir Moshav. They wanted to come to a city where there is a good settlement. They can settle there. They couldn't find it. Verse 4 and verse 7. But at the end, they can say, Baruch Hashem, these hungry people, God brought them back. And he brought them back to a ir Moshav, to a city which is settled again, and it is rebuilt. What is this city? We don't know. It doesn't have a clear identity. I will show you from Yeshayahu that the term, and I will show that later, but I want to tell you now, Yomru Geulei Hashem, those who were saved by Hashem, they will say this story. The word Geulei Hashem appears in the entire Bible twice. Once here in Tehillim 107, and the other time in Yeshayahu, where it says, the Geulei Hashem, they will be happy. Why are they happy? Because they were brought back to Yerushalayim, to the city of Yerushalayim. So the city, which is not identified here yet, is obviously the city they couldn't find, they couldn't get to. Verse 4 and 7, they can rebuild it in 36. Vayechonenu ir Moshav. Of course it's Yerushalayim. And we will see in the next chapter how much details are on Yerushalayim coming back to Zion, to Tzion, the city they came back from. I want to point out another other very, very interesting aspect here. At the end, there is a conclusion. Remember, the desert, wonderful waters could get very dry. Yasem naharot lemidbar. Where you can find water, please pay attention. Motza'ei, you can find water, will be etzima'on. The same three letters, motza'ei mem tzadi aleph. If they are spelled differently with tzadi mem aleph, they are motza'ei letzima'on. History can change like that. Water can be a desert. And a wonderful land can be very dried out. Mira'at yoshaveiva. But on the other hand, not only Yasem Naharot Lemidbar 33, it can be the opposite, 35. Yasem Midbar Lagamayim. The opposite is true as well. And you can build the land and you can build the city. You have just to remember, what does it depend from? It depends whether we understand the plan of Hashem. Mi chacham v'yishmor eile v'yitbonenu chasdei Hashem. If we do it right, a desert will be revived. If we do it wrong, a beautiful land will be dried out like a desert. That's exactly the message at the end of 107, what we were taught in 105. If you do it well and you follow, you will be successful. You do it wrong, 106, you will be punished and go to the diaspora. That's exactly what we have here. So this Mizmor has a wonderful insight, and I want to point out some other aspects. They were in the desert. Which desert is that? They were in jail. Where is jail? They were sick. When were they sick? They were on the sea. When were they on the sea? So, of course, people explain that is what happened to the Jewish people when they were in Egypt. That's true. They were first in jail. In Egypt is a place of slavery. And afterwards, they walked through the sea. Yamsuf, Yodei Hayam. And afterwards, they were in the desert for 40 years. True. And afterwards, when they came to Eretz Yisrael and they were saved from walking 40 years in the desert, and walking 40 years in the desert is quite a challenging period, which is compared to disease, fine, they were all saved. Very interesting. There are clear motifs of Yetziat Bnei Yisrael, of the Exodus, exit from Egypt, when they came to Eretz Yisrael. Why is it changed? Why is the order changed? Not a clear answer. I will try to answer in a moment. But these people who were in the desert at the time when they came back from the exile, and they came back from Cyrus, from the Tfutzot, all the diaspora, they came back and they were for 40 years in the desert. B'midbar ha'amim, the exile, Yechezkel 20, is compared of the desert of the exile, Midbar Ha'amim. Of course, when they were in jail under Babel, what a big jail. Of course it was a jail. They were taken as slaves to Babel. Of course it's a Beit Asurim. And they were sick. We have a clear description in Sefer Yeshayahu 52-53 about the Evet Hashem who comes back to Eretz Yisrael, and he was sick, and he has all the Pesha'im on the Avonot, exactly the same term. And afterwards, we have to go and tell to all the nations at Psorat HaGeula, and we have to go to the Yordei Yam. Twice in the Bible, we have the term Yordei Yam, here and in Yeshayahu 52, Yordei Yam. And we should go to with the sea to all the nations and tell the story of the Geula. So there are like different layers in the text here. Yes, there is a historical memory, a historical template of Egypt. But in the same token by Yeshayahu, there is also a comparison that the desert is Am Yisrael in the exile. The jail is Koresh. And all these four themes are actually different aspects how to define the exile and that they come back. So it is much more than just a personal story of one people here, of a person here who was saved and another one there. I want to show you now, to invite you to three psychologists. And here we have the text in English and summarized here. So I bring it here. Why do we have at the in Pasuk 22, let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell his deeds in joyful song? If you were saved, it's not enough to have a good steak and to have a sacrifice. You have to tell the story and to sing. It is very healthy to sing and to tell this and to sing the story. That's the concept of a great psychologist, Viktor Frankl. Logotherapy. If you overcome a big disaster, a big stressful experience, tell afterwards what happened to you. By telling the story, you will be cured. You go through a process. If you tell the story, it's good for you. I want to share. I presented this shiur some 7 years ago in Yerushalayim. And at the end of the lecture, there was a lady sitting in the room, and she listened very carefully to all the explanations, and I saw she wanted to say something. I haven't met her before, and she came to me and says, Dr. Gesundheit, you know, I'm a psychotherapist. I do a lot of family therapy. My teacher was Michael White, and he was a social worker, a family therapist, and he developed the concept, you can find him in Wikipedia, of the narrative therapy. Bring people together and everybody tells his story. If you do so, and everybody listens to the story of the other, it's an opportunity that everybody talks and tells the story. Yes, that's logotherapy. But you listen to the other, and you identify that whatever happened to him and whatever happened to you is the same. There is a shared experience of distress and the shared experience of hoda'ah, of thanksgiving. But his story is his. And yours is yours. But if you listen to him, you actually redefine your own position. You better understand what happened to you by listening to him and talking to him and discussing it with him. So that is exactly, that's what the lady told me, what the narrative therapy is all about. Everybody tells the story, but not only one to the therapist or one to Hashem. One listens to the other. And by doing so, he learns about himself. What a beautiful idea. I didn't know Professor Michael White. I looked him up afterwards, and it's a beautiful insight that Mizmor 107 works with that. Everybody has his own story. Viktor Frankl says, for you individually, it's good. But the narrative therapy, group therapy, takes them together, learns to tell the story in front of others, and to listen to each person's story, so everybody is enriched. That's exactly what we see here. And here we have a third psychologist, the wonderful hierarchy of the Maslow's hierarchy. What is his message? That everybody has his own needs. There is a basic need, physiologically need. If you don't eat, if you don't drink, it's a disaster. That's what you need. You can't eat and drink for a day, two, three, you're dead. That is the basic need. But we have social needs, esteem, a self-fulfillment. So there are different levels. Once you fulfill the number level one, you move up this hierarchy, this ladder, because it's not enough not to be hungry. It's not enough not to be a slave. It's not enough not to be in big distress. You want something meaningful. You want something of good health to fulfill yourself, to realize your dreams and your vision. That's exactly, I think so, what we have in Mizmor 100. Excuse me, I have to go to the Hebrew text. That's exactly what we have here. The first one, according to the hierarchy of Maslow's hierarchy, the first one, Baruch Hashem, is not hungry anymore. Verse 9, he is not hungry. He will not die from thirst. Good for him. But it's not enough. He is still in jail. Oh, he enjoys liberty. He is not a slave to somebody else. Good for him. That is, he might have enough food in jail, but he is not a free man. He doesn't enjoy liberty. That is stage two. The third one is you're not only not a free man. If you are weak or you feel experience of sins and you are weak from the sins, the third story, at the end, you are cured. You couldn't eat at the beginning. At the end, you can bring a sacrifice and tell everybody. It is a higher level of fulfillment that you not only you have something to eat. The first one, you share your food and very, very delicious food with somebody else in a meaningful way. And at the end, you go and you educate others. You bring the message to the entire world. So I do think, I'm not sure if Maslow ever thought about it, that somebody will take his idea, his concept, and explain the structure of chapter 107. But why is he so helpful? First of all, he has a beautiful concept. But on top of that, I asked before the question, In the history of the exit of Egypt, we have an order of you were slaves, crossed the water, were in the desert, and you were cured. The order would have been 2, 4, 1, 3. But the order is not like that historically. According to Maslow, his letter actually bring a very clear message. Somebody who goes in the desert, never mind whether it's the first one or the last one historically, knows going in the desert is death. You are not dead. Being in jail is no liberty. You are a free man. You are not sick anymore. You can fulfill yourself psychosomatically. You can eat and share your food with others and tell the story. It's a much higher level of needs. You fulfill yourself. You go out to others. You cross the seas and you tell Maaseh Hashem to others. That is, according to Maslow's hierarchy, a much higher level of self-actualization. So I think that is a beautiful opportunity to see that. And I thank my friend and Mechutan Eli Eisenstein, who connected that to Maslow in this context. So here we have one other way to present it. That was the analysis of the Mizmor, the text, and to see the flow of the Mizmor. I want to show you now another aspect, and that is the aspect of intertextuality. And I did that in the handout here. We can see it a little bit enlarged. For each of the psukim here, along, I found a lot of psukim in Sefer Yeshayahu. A lot of psukim. So before I go in all these details, you see a lot. All these psukim have analogies in Yeshayahu, very, very meaningful ones. We have a pasuk in Ezra, going the right way, Derech Yeshara. When Ezra came from the exile to Jerusalem, back to the city of David, it says there and only there, 107, and in Ezra, that he came back, Bederech Yeshara to Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that the obvious identity that we talk about the same? But I'm not happy with this way of presenting it. So allow me to show you what I have in my other format, which you see here. That's the other format where we have vertically the entire text and the analogies within the Mizmor. I will not go and show it to you. These are the four stories and the same refrain. A lot of very interesting analogies, which we can see here. But we have here something amazing. I'm in the middle. I didn't finish the last version, but I want to show you a few examples. We discussed examples from Yeshayahu in much detail when we spoke about the fourth unit in the first book. And we saw a lot of examples of Yeshayahu. And I tried to explain you that time, that whatever the word of God is in Yeshayahu, Tehillim is the response, the reaction, the thanksgiving, the religious, personal, psychological experience of a person who prays. So I want to show you here just a few examples. They are very long and they are amazing. I can show you the results and tell you about the results, but the learning experience, the interesting part is to searches, use all the search system. What actually was the best to do to keep a Sefer Tehillim 107 in my hands and to read 26 Mizmorim, 27 Mizmorim in Yeshayahu. So much is there. V'karu lahem Am HaKodesh. Once they come back in future times, Am Yisrael, there will be the holy nation. Ge'ulei Adonai. V'lach yikare drusha ir lo ne'ezava. When they come back as Ge'ulei Hashem, they will have a city which will never ever be left again. Talking about Ge'ulei Hashem in Tehillim, yes, we have again a ir moshav v'yachoneneha. We have a lot of verses like Yeshayahu 50:43, where it says, Yeshayahu says, all your children will come back, mimizrach, mima'arav, akabtzeka, latzafon, from Teiman they will come back, and from miyad umiyam, and they will come back from all over. That's exactly what we have here at the beginning. And they will be hungry. They will come from jail. Look here now, I will not go through all of them, but I want to point out two examples. In Yeshayahu 45, it says, Ko amar Adonai lemishicho lechoresh, and he will liberate them from closed doors and closed gates. Hashem says, Ani lefanecha elech, I will go in front of you. V'hadurim ayashir, I will make a good way for you. I will pave the way for you. Daltot nechusha ashaber, I will break all the bronze gates, doors, and the gates from iron I will destroy. That is the promise of Hashem. Look at the words. Daltot nechusha ashaber, uvrichei barzel agadea. What is 107 saying in the second story? He thanks Hashem because he broke the doors of bronze and destroyed the iron gates. The same words exactly. So isn't that the identity that we actually have Yeshayahu explaining us what is going on in Tehillim? Yeshayahu gives the historical background. And we know that Yeshayahu has a second part, for instance, for such a pasuk. Koresh was only at the end, at the beginning of the Second Temple period. He opened the Second Temple period by his declaration of Cyrus. What he said in the spirit of Yeshayahu in the first temple period is continued in the second part of Yeshayahu, this pasuk. This same pasuk is continued in the second part of Sefer Yeshayahu to show the flow it will continue. So whatever Yeshayahu explained that Daltot Nechusha Shaber Brichei Barzela Gadeu is Koresh, is the declaration of Cyrus. It's not spelled out in Tehillim. But if you see this analogy, of course, that is the topic of Shivat Zion. And we have here other psukim, just one I want to show here. At the end, we have here a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, the desert can be like water, and water can be like desert. Yasem midbar la'agam mayim, ve'eretz tzia lemotza'i mayim. In 35, it says, Hashem, thank you. Hashem put the desert to a water, to a sea, to a lake. And dry land was a place where there's a lot of water. Yasem midbar la'agam mayim, ve'eretz tzia lemotza'i mayim. In the prayer, we thank Hashem that he will do that. And we are confident he will do that. The same eight words
is actually a quotation from Yeshayahu, where he promises, in the time of the Geula, Asim midbar la'agam maim ve'eretz tzia le'motza'ei maim. So comparing all these mizmorim, which will take hours just to look at that, is a wonderful insight, and that is a parshanut of Sefer Tehilim by learning Yeshayahu. That is a very special, we had that many times, and that is just one example more to show this concept. Here I showed the other format, which will be ready. Let me close with two slides. One is Birkat HaGomel. If you're thankful, and the Gemara says that, four people have to say Birkat HaGomel. Why? Because those are the four people which are mentioned in chapter 107. So we see that the reception of Mizmor 107 has a very clear place in the Halakha, in the Gemara, and in the Sidur. Somebody is saved, he should say it. The Gemara is a very, very interesting interpretation. We should say that in front of 10 people. Why? Because it says, V'yeromemu bikal am, kehal am is a minyan. Mar Zutra says, no, we need two Talmidei Chachamim. Why? Uve-moshav zkenim yahaleluhu. Moshav zkenim, the elders, are smart people, not just 10 people. So the question is, if we need 10 and 2, do we need 12? Might be. And why does the Gemara talk about 12 people for Birkat HaGomel as a possibility? It's a kashya. So it's not clear what the halakha is according to the Gemara, but the Gemara raises the option of 12. Why do we need 12? I never heard about 12 people for a minyan. There are 10. Why does 2 have to be tzaddikim? What's the thought of the Gemara? And here we have a quite wonderful example that the Gemara, with the clear instructions for halachot, they actually have something very interesting in mind. Where do we have in Jewish history a forum of 10 people and two additional good guys, skenim? There is only one place where we have that. The Maharsha points it out, but the Maharsha doesn't explain it. These are the spies. When they came, there were 10 people, 10 meraglim, who said bad things about Eretz Yisrael, plus two who spoke about Eretz Yisrael very respectfully. This framework of 12 people, 10 regular ones and two good ones, Kalev and Yoshua, is exactly the idea of Birkat HaGomel if we go back to 107. In 107, we came back to Eretz Yisrael. Who were the first people who came to Eretz Israel from Egypt? The spies who went there. 10 who failed and 2 who spoke respectfully about Eretz Israel, because they understood what the message is, as we say at the end of 107. Michacham v'yishmor elevit bonanu chasdei Hashem. The 10 others did not. So we see that the idea is reflected here. That is the summary of the beginning, end of chapter of book 4, mit Hallel and Hedua, mit Hallel, with Hallel and Hoda'a, and afterwards we have the Hallel HaMitzri. We will talk about Hallel HaMitzri in 2 weeks, Bezrat Hashem. And there is a Hallel HaGadol, 135 to 136. We will talk about it in lecture 26. And quite at the end, we will talk about Psukei de Zimra in chapter 29 and 30. So now is the ongoing crescendo. Increase of Hallel v'Hoda'ah. We had it in 107, and it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. That is the picture, the diagram of the fifth book, which I will not address in detail, but I want to talk about it 1 minute, and that's it. We have here the five books. I apologize, I couldn't translate it yet because it needs some work, and it will take me more time to translate, and there are too many details, but I hope you can see it. Chapter 107, yes, we come back. That's the beginning of book 5. And we remember King David in 108 and 110. And now chapter 111 and 112 talk about God and the tzaddik, the righteous person. Topic of next week's shiur. Everybody can be, by imitating Hashem, he can follow his way. And we have three units, which are very beautifully compared to Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Three times a year, we go to Yerushalayim for Aliyah. And three times the idea of Pesach, out of Egypt, Shavuot, getting the Torah, Sukkot, opening our doors for many others with all the nations. That's exactly the motif of these three units, as we will see. It comes to a certain end point, and afterwards we think about the diaspora at the River of Babylon. And that is a very interesting transition. We'll talk about it at length. And King David is again here. He brings us back, not only when we come to Eretz Yisrael, but once we are established in Eretz Yisrael, and we go from a very established land of Eretz Yisrael to the diaspora, 137, King David helps us to bring everybody back from the diaspora, from all the lands of the world. And finally, in the Hallel Psukei de Zimra, we will praise Hashem with all nations, with all people coming back from the world. That is the beautiful story, which we will see now in the following nine shiurim. And that is, we will elaborate that. It's worthwhile. What I would like to recommend, that you read the fifth book, you take this handout, and there are a lot of analogies below, and you will see how beautifully and masterfully these mizmorim are all connected. What we saw today is the structure and the messages of 107. We compared the intertextuality and the contextuality last week, and today intertextuality. The structure and the narrative of book five is what we will see in the future, and we got some sources on Birkat HaGomel. That was the opening shiur for book five with 107. And here we have for next week, 111 and 112. And I would like to ask you to read these two very short mizmorim. These are twins. You will see why. It's obviously, it jumps in your eyes that they are twins. I want to compare it to chapter one and to chapter 119, the longest chapter in Tehillim and in the entire Bible. But we will see if we compare chapter one, 111, 112, 219, there is a beautiful, amazing religious journey from these over these three stations. We will discuss as a preparation for Hallel and Pesach. We will discuss the Hallel, the Egyptian Hallel in Shiur 23 and also Hallel Gadol in 26, which can serve as a very good preparation for Haggadah Shel Pesach. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Rav Benny. It was really a wonderful shiur. In the shiur came up a number of questions regarding slide number five and Birkat HaGomel, but I will say I think you answered most of them, if not all of them. One question that I guess stands is why these four? Like, are these four, like, within the chat, there were answers, the north, west, and south. People brought in the answers that you gave. Would you say that these are prototypes basically for everyone and really all inclusive? What do you have to elaborate about that?
So here we see the beauty of Tehillim. We are used, if we learn history, we have to know, was it the 5th of January or the 6th of January? And we need all the details. Tehillim doesn't teach us like that to experience history. We experience the history by seeing a revival, a relevance for our lives. Yes, the motifs of Egypt are very obvious. One doesn't have to be a big scholar and doesn't need any search system. Desert, jail, sick, crossing the waters. Of course it's Egypt, obviously. But it's also our story of Yeshayahu. It's all the story. And this mizmor is part of the prayer for Yom HaTzmaut. Yom HaTzmaut is our generations, the previous generations. Yes, they came out of jail. They came out of the diaspora. They had a big journey in the desert. They were very sick and they crossed many seas. And Exodus crossed Yodei Yam. It's our story. And I would love to prepare this mizmor. Allow me to share with you my dreams. I would love to prepare this mizmor the way we did it today as a real message for Yom HaTzmaut. That is King David. Did he write it? Let's leave the question open. Are we inspired by King David? Of course we are.
Because if we say at the end, Mi chacham v'yishmo ele, v'yitbonenu chasdei Hashem, who can tell the story? The next mizmor says, only King David can talk about chasdei Hashem olam Hashira. That is our story. So I know our historical faculties, they teach and research history differently. No comments on that. That's a good way. But the historical experience of Yetziat Mitzrayim is summarized beautifully in the Haggadah. B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ke'ilu hu yetzam Mitzrayim. How does this history talk to you? And there is a big difference. There is a beautiful book by on the philosophers, Dunant. And he said, what's the big difference about history and the story? If you tell history, it's past history. If you tell the story and you are part of it, it's your own story. Chapter 105 and 106 were a beautiful history, a historical review. Chapter 107 is our story. That's our story, how we came back. So Mimele, forget about details of very, very formalistic historical documentation and taking pictures and showing a map and a little video clip. That's not what Sefer Tehillim wants to teach us. How does it touch your soul? That's the reason I wanted to use for this mizmor three psychologists, because you can learn linguistics, history, poetry. There are many aspects to learn a text and to learn the biblical text. But I wanted that touch, that mizmor 107 should touch our souls. So the experts of the souls are the psychologists. Tell the story, Frankl. Do it together. Experience that my story and my family's history and somebody from Tayman is a very similar one. And we came here. We share different stories. We share a common destination. We came back. And we increase our fulfillment according to the hierarchy of Maslow in the way I try to present it here. So what you ask at the beginning, Susan, or what you were asking in the chat, I want to present it in a different methodology in order to make it meaningful. Did I answer? So any idea, now it's time for me to ask questions. Everybody, Susan, can I ask?
Yes, the mic is open to you.
Okay, I'm happy. I asking my questions, you see how challenging chapter 107 is, how beautiful it is. Extremely rich with all these aspects. Text, 105 to 107, context. Where does it stand in the entire book? How does it open the entire fifth book? Yeshayahu, Ezra, Nehemiah. How to present it in a short, concise way. And a good friend, Professor Ballhorn from Germany, who he said when he started to research, he wrote a beautiful research in German and has some papers in English as well. He says, somebody who doesn't need and doesn't ask these questions, if it doesn't bother him, he will never see it. But somebody who wants to see it, he sees it very, very obviously. Can anybody tell that it's not connected to Yeshayahu? But his whole list of analogies, yes, I know they dry out the attention span to look at all these analogies. But if you research it, it is Yeshayahu. Tehillim reflects Yeshayahu. So how do we present that in a meaningful way? Graphically, in a lecture, in a short presentation on one mizmor for Yom HaTzmaut. So I'm not expecting that you give me now all the answers. I'm happy to hear. But if you have ideas how to learn 107 and how to go deeper and have more insights to understand the world of 107, the beautiful world, how do we present that to children, to a class, in a congregation? I will be ready for Yom HaTzmaut. Might be even an English translation. And if you have it, please teach it and go via Sapru Ma'aseh Hashem. If you have any good ideas for me, please don't hesitate to share with me. I have more questions, but might be it's more appropriate that you ask more questions.
Oh. Okay, well.
Can you give us that Isaiah page that you didn't finish yet? Will you be by the end of the course, whether it's finished or not? Can you give us, you know.
I can give it to you now, to everybody, and I'm happy to give it. I'm happy to share it with you.
I'm in the middle. I have, as you see, I'm teaching and learning, researching Sefer Tehillim, and I have many, many formats. So I have these analogies in many formats, and now putting it all together and cleaning up all the mess from my computer is a very challenging experience. I don't have the capacities that the writers of Sefer Tehillim had of this excellent editorial work to put it together. I'm at the very beginning. But I think it could be very, very interesting if you want to see it. I'm more than happy to share it with you. Send me an email. I can send it to you if everybody wants it. I don't feel comfortable to show something which is not yet ready. But so send me an email and you will finish it. Deal.
Okay, excellent. Rabbi Benny's email is on each of the source sheets. And when it is final, we will add the chart to the website. So that would be excellent. There was one technical question that I would like to ask, and then I really think maybe we'll end with what Molly posted, which relates to what you said about the Geula. On slide 5, you have the asterisk next to certain psukim with highlighted words, and you said they're only mentioned twice, and people asked if it's only twice in Tehillim, or is it twice in the Tanakh?
So the word of Batzar Lahem is only twice in Tehillim. Bamidbar b'Yishimon. So what I did, I'm sharing with you my tricks. Sometimes it's good statistics, and it jumps in your eyes. And here I admit it, I wrote an introduction to the book about the methodology, and afterwards, whatever I researched in the book, I wrote on each chapter what I found. And afterwards, I read again the introduction, but the introduction wasn't fully correct because I added more. So I wrote a new introduction based on the end, because that's the way I want to present it to the book, to myself, and to all the readers. So if we have a note that it says, Ki imru, I remember, because they failed to listen to Hashem's word. This experience, Ki imru, is mentioned only twice in the entire Bible. Chapter 106, it's the punishment, and therefore exile, and therefore diaspora. And they pray to come back. When they come back, they pray and thank, Ki himru imrei el. What is the explanation of himru imrei el in 107? Don't look in the commentators yet. Look in 106, it's the best commentator. So it's only mentioned here. We don't know how to explain it, but there is an obvious intention quoting Hiki Himru in 107 if it's quoted just before. So what I did, and I actually consider to have two different colors of asterisk. Asterisk means only twice. One should be black on white, only twice in Tehillim, and one white on black, only twice in the entire Bible. So that makes it very strong. If it's only twice in Tehillim, you can talk about contextuality of Tehillim. If Geulei Hashem is mentioned only twice, or if an entire Pasuk is mentioned only twice like that, do we need an asterisk? We can put 6 asterisks here, 8, the same word. It's not one word. Nobody needs an explanation. Oh, is it meaningful that Eshet Chayil is mentioned in Tehillim, is mentioned in Mishlei and is mentioned in Megillat Rut? Might be it's meaningful. But here we have a quotation of an entire pasuk. It's not one asterisk. It is a whole sentence. So obviously, methodologically, there are different levels which I had to learn for my introduction. There are super examples. 107 talks clearly about the declaration of Cyrus, because in Yeshayahu, Cyrus is mentioned, and it's exactly the same sentence. I promise I will thank you, and I promise I will save you. And Tehillim says, thank you, Hashem. You did what you promised in Yeshayahu all the time. So that is the interaction. I was not trained to learn
Bible by comparing Yeshayahu and Tehillim. I was not used to that. And if I see commentators to Yeshayahu and Tehillim, beautiful material, Baruch Hashem, in the literature, Parshanim, beautiful literature. We have an example of a shita, and I called it Parshanut HaTanach, the explanation, hermeneutics of the Bible. The best Parshanut of the Bible is if the Bible is self-explanatory. I didn't say a word. Just compare it to Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu is a great commentator of Tehillim 107. It's a new level. Contextual interpretation or intertextual interpretation is a new level of Parshanut. And I would say, for being biased. No, I'm not sorry. I'm happy to be biased. This approach is the most authentic one. Because I don't know which city Yeshayahu is talking, which city Tehillim is talking about. They couldn't find a city, a settlement. They couldn't find. And at the end, they could find. It's Yerushalayim. Why is Yeshayahu saying it? Because he talks about the return to Yerushalayim. Why is Tehillim not saying it? Because if you want something and you are in a great hope to fulfill something and you get it, there is a reason to thank. Is it a city? Is it health? Is it something else that is important to your life? It doesn't matter whether it's Yerushalayim or Eretz Yisrael. Of course it matters. But it is important to hope for something. And if you get it, you thank for it. Regardless, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, anything else. Therefore, Tehillim doesn't mention.
Beautiful. Wow, that's really, really, really beautiful. And on that note, we'll close the shiur. I'll just add that Molly pointed out that with the slide where we spoke about Koresh, that was obviously not the last time we returned from exile. And she pointed out that Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun, our neighbor, talks about the current ingathering from concentration camps and Ethiopian desert crossings. So may this time be leading to the ultimate geula, which I think is a nice bracha to end such a beautiful shiur where we talked about the Mizmorim we read on Yom Yerushalayim and Yom HaAtzma'ut. And I'd also like to wish everyone a Chodesh Tov. We're Misha Nichnas Adar, Marbin B'Simcha.
Chodesh Tov.
We'll be doing Book 5 in the month of Adar. So Chodesh Tov, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you very much, Rav Benny.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Rav Benny. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you. Thanks for participating.
All the way from New York.
Be well.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi.